Robertson, Coastal Fisheries Division with Texas Parks and Wildlife, and she's going to talk about the artificial reef program.
Right. Thank you very much. I just wanted to tell the viewers about artificial reefs and that they're their own ecosystem off in the Gulf of Mexico. And what these valuable structures provide for us is habitat, which is very limiting in the Gulf of Mexico. If you look at the page one on the first slide.
Yeah, double click on where it says artificial reefs. I'm sorry. And follow along with her slide presentation. I should have mentioned that.
If you see on the first picture, there's a map of the 34 reef sites that Texas Parks and Wildlife is responsible for maintaining and monitoring. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that there's reef sites all the way up near Sabine Pass at the far right north corner of your map. It shows Basco's Reef, Salt Reef. And if you look down toward the bottom, down by Brownsville, there's one called Port Isabel Reef. So we have a lot of reef sites offshore. Most of them are about 40 acres in size, but a few, like our Liberty Ship sites, are a little bit bigger, of 160 acres in size. But the main thing that we need to talk about is, why do we make artificial reefs? And that's because in the Gulf of Mexico, hard bottom habitat is very limiting. And so we need to do as much as we can to provide habitat for the baby reef fish and other invertebrates that live in that ecosystem. The best material that we've ever used and still is a good and natural attractor for artificial reef animals is oil rigs. They're very complex structures. I have a model right here that shows what an oil rig might look like after the top is taken off. This picture shows the platform. There's two ways that oil companies can donate platforms to the artificial reef program once the oil resources and the gas resources are depleted. The first way, and you look in the third picture on your page, is an explosive removal where we set charges down the legs and then we blow below the surface, and then the oil company pulls the model, well, the oil rig, over on its side. And this is in order to provide clearance for ships and other vessels to go across. The other method that we use, if you look at this little popsicle model, is that we cut the structure off at the correct clearance level, and then we can either take this portion to shore or we can leave it on the bottom to make extra habitat. So either way, it provides good place for animals to attach. Hmm. And this is just a little demonstration model of the animals attaching to an oil rig, and you can make this out of popsicle sticks with Play-Doh and all sorts of other things you can attach to it.
Did you make this yourself?
Yes.
That's cute.
Another type of artificial reef material that's complex is Liberty ships. And we have 12 in the Gulf of Mexico that we placed at 5 different reef sites. This is just a model of a ship. And if you look at your bottom picture on page 1, you'll see that we're sinking a ship. We actually made cutouts on the sides of the ship, and then we took all the top off the ship. That provides an opening for the fish to swim in and out of, and it gives them a good place to hide.
So when you say Liberty ships, are you talking about military ships?
Navy ships that were used in World War II.
Hmm.
Another natural type of artificial reef material is natural rock. If you look on page 2, you'll see that there's a company in Houston offered to donate 50 quarry rocks, and these rocks are basalts, granites, marble, all sorts of really beautiful colored rocks. But if you notice in the picture, it has great big holes or many holes, and that's because these rocks were used to test drill bits. And the good thing about them is they provide an opening for the fish to swim into and hide, but also a very unusual surface for invertebrates to attach to. Another type of material that we have done with Seaborne Conservation Cadets, if you look on your page 2 on the number 2 slide, is called reef balls. And these are like these models that I built out of Play-Doh. They provide a small, this is for shallow reef sites, mm-hmm. and they're not, you know, like we have a 50-foot reef site, and then we want to put something very small in it for the fish that are there. And it provides small holes for the fish to swim into and big holes for the bigger fish to swim into, and they're also hollow underneath.
So in how deep of water would you find a structure like this versus a structure like this?
Anywhere from 100 feet to 300 feet, mm-hmm. you'd find these type of structures. And then in the shallow water sites, we have the little reef balls.
Okay.
The Seaborne Conservation Cadets helped us down at Texas A&M, and if you look in your pictures on slide 3, every morning the cadets would set up the molds, then they would put inflated big balls in the center to keep it hollow, and then small balls to make these openings right here. And then on the bottom of the picture, you see that, on the bottom of page 2, you see that they're pouring the concrete.